We're getting tips and advice on tackling the garage. It is time to ask the garage remodeler as part of our home improvement series here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. One survey from 2015 by Gladiator Garage Works found the garage could use some attention. Roughly 1 in 4 Americans say their garage is so unorganized that it can't even fit one car. Can you identify? What organizational solutions have you found that work? What issues are you having with the floor or foundation in your garage? 800-642-1234. Tim Woolen is president of Tailored Living in Madison, installing garage cabinet systems and applying garage floor coatings. Tim, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, you're here because we need a game plan for the garage because, you know, when you step out there, there are so many issues that may need to, you know, you need to work on. You know, you want to fix your garage up, but what's a good place to start?
Yeah, I think that's really what a lot of people struggle with is where do you start? And that's what keeps you from tackling the project to begin with. We find that working with our clients, having us come in to start giving them some ideas, discussing, you know, what things that are there are going to stay, what things could go. Most people will admit that a good percentage of the things in the garage don't belong there or aren't necessity anymore or necessary to keep in their house at all. So going through those things to start with is the biggest part, just to see what are you going to end up with in the garage that you need to actually store and organize.
Okay, so we've, you know, worked through the clutter first, see what you've got, and then do you start in on floors? Do you start in on storage? Do you look at other things structurally? Where do you begin once you've cleared out that mess?
Well, I think most people want to figure out what is their game plan in the end. How do they want to use the space? So some people want to use it as an extension of the home. If you're going to use it as a space that if you're having a gathering and you want to be able to congregate or have people in the garage as well, maybe you have a ping pong table set up, you know, that kind of starts to drive where you're going to go with the garage design and what things might apply in this particular case. So, you know, if you're looking at some garages don't have all the walls finished. So if that's something that you want to have done and you want to bring in someone to finish drywall, insulate it to start making the space, you know, just much more warmer and inviting, then that might be one direction. If it's, say, someone that's just looking to improve the space in terms of storage, they want to get things up and off the floor, create maybe enough room. Maybe they've only been parking one car in the garage. They want to park both in the garage before the winter. So you take a look at those things and then decide from there on what direction do you go next? Because everybody's going to want something a little different depending on how they want to utilize the space. I heard you mention just exercise. Some people are making those spaces into exercise areas, and then you want it to be warmer and more inviting, possibly even looking at adding a heater. In Wisconsin, that's actually much more common and popular than a lot of people think.
We've talked with guests on our show who've had to create an office space in their garage as they work from home. That also has come up. So I'm wondering, do you kind of think about the garage then as having these different zones, if you will, for what different uses the garage might have?
Definitely, depending on the size of the garage, if there are multiple purposes or uses, and being able to separate those areas out. A lot of people also using their garage as a workspace if they like to tinker a lot. So having room where they might have a workbench and space to have those items and tools. If it's an office, as you said, you know, maybe they need something that can act as an office during the day, but also needs to have some features maybe that the space can be sort of changed or modified, and say a table or something that might be a pullout item that can be stored away and then out of the way. So maybe they still want to park in there. Maybe they have other things, they have games and things for kids. So there's a lot of unique little things that you can do if you want to make the space multi-purpose and multi-use.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Tim Woolen, who is a garage expert, heads a Madison business specializing in garage flooring and storage. You can join in with your questions about a garage DIY project, the changes you want to make to your garage, 800-642-1234. Another use that's come up, Tim, is homes without like that proper mudroom and drop space. And if a garage has ample space, kind of designing a mudroom type system in the garage, since, you know, families, they come in through the garage. It's not really the front door anymore.
Yeah, that's true. And a lot of existing homes don't have large mudrooms. A lot of newer homes are coming with, you know, bigger mudrooms and areas for the family to come in. But a lot of existing homes don't have that, or they want to have additional space before they come into the house with the muddy boots or snowy boots. And we actually, on a frequent occasions, will build out locker systems that are maybe just outside the garage door. So a space where maybe there's a bench, you can get your shoes on and off. There's shoe storage. So for all the shoes, sports, outside, inside, that you can put. There's hooks for hanging coats, cubbies for additional items of having gloves and storage. But you're creating a space that, instead of all assembling and getting kind of locked up into the mudroom inside, you can have more room to get ready to take things off or put things on, and then, you know, either go out about your day or go inside the house. So it's really can make it a lot easier as far as traffic and people coming and going.
Well, people coming and going, what about the different flooring options for the garage? I mean, because there are a bunch of different things you can do, whether you, you know, keep or polish your existing concrete, and then you've got these epoxies. What are some options?
Yeah, the most popular option is an epoxy floor or just a floor coating. And that is most popular and most common in garages because garages take a lot of abuse from all of the elements in the cars driving on them. So you have salt that comes off the roadways, and that tends to be pretty harsh on concrete. Also stains, you know, any oils and things like that. So a lot of times the floor, you know, is not in perfect shape. And so an actual floor coating will give it a decorative look, but then also give you a very clean surface that's basically hermetically sealed. So cleanup is extremely easy. When you wipe the floor down or when you clean it, it's actually clean versus, you know, if any of us have had our white socks on as we go out into the garage and come back inside and the bottoms are black, you know, you can power wash a floor 3 or 4 times and still walk out there in white socks and come back in with black socks. So concrete just inherently is very difficult to get clean and to keep clean. So these types of coatings can be a very big benefit in terms of keeping the house cleaner. And also if you're using it as an extension of the home, that, you know, you can sweep it out and clean it out and it really is clean. People from inside can come out in their socks and, you know, not have that. So it makes it much more inviting. Also there's a protective aspect to the floors. So the things that are harsh, like the salt and other things that come off our cars, these floor coatings protect against that. So it's actually protecting the concrete from, you know, actually deteriorating over time.
And they have what I've seen, this kind of raised, bumpy finish. Is that for traction? Why isn't it completely smooth?
Yeah, so those are flake broadcast systems, and they are intentionally not smooth, especially here in Wisconsin. One thing you have to be careful of is the smoother the surface is, the more slippery it is. Even concrete by itself, it tends to be very slippery depending on how it was finished or if it's been sealed. And as it gets sealed and the pores are filled, it gets more and more slippery. So if you do a flake system, the edges of the flakes and everything actually act as texture to give you slip resistance. There's also some additional things that you can do to increase the slip resistance if you want to, but in most cases, that's more than enough. The rougher it gets, the harder it is to clean. So there's a happy medium on, you know, having it rough enough for slip resistance, but not too rough. So,
We're talking with garage remodeler and storage system expert Tim Woolen, part of our Ask a Contractor series. Do you have garage foundation issues or cracks, stains? Have you repaired the problem yourself, or did you call in an expert? Have you found a way to store the kids' bikes but still get at them easily? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in a minute with Tim Woolen here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing garage updates as part of our Ask a Contractor series on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Do you have a vision of transforming your garage from this dark, messy pass-through area into a sleek storage space that's an extension of your home? What questions do you have about that transformation? We're talking with Tim Woolen, runs a company repairing garage floor cracks, applying flooring, creating storage systems. And Tim is with us for the hour. Let's bring in Dave in Brookfield with a question. Hi, Dave.
There, how's it going?
Doing well.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, what's up with your garage?
Well, we had discussed the value of drywalling and insulating the entire garage. It's a two-car garage. And me and the wife had some differing opinions. I thought it would add a lot of value to the house, so I went ahead and did it. And she thinks it was a huge waste of money.
So you need to kind of settle a little bit this debate. Tim, would you enter in here?
Well, there's definitely, I would see it as a value in terms of it looks much more finished. So if a potential buyer was to come in, they're likely to see it as more of that finished type of space. Now, whether or not that gets them to purchase or spend any more money on your house is, you know, again, not something I could settle. But in most cases, if it's insulated and drywalled, it maintains temperature, holds its temperature better, especially in the winter. So you're going to find that your garage is not as cold when temperatures dip down, way down. So there is a value. And if your space is warmer, it is going to then transfer to like what your heating bill is to some extent. But, you know, that's more about comfortability. And when the snow is able to melt off the cars overnight because the garage is a little warmer, you know, it's convenience and, you know, it's a nice to have. I personally look at it as when the walls are finished, it's much easier to do storage and organization on those walls. Because when they're just 2x4 walls, sometimes it just gets a little tricky to hang things and get stuff to stay where you want it to stay. So it's usually the first place that I start with people in their garages. If they don't have finished walls, in most cases, they want to finish them, or I suggest having them finished because there are other benefits down the road. So while there might not be a big big payout right away, I would probably look at it and say down the road, this is a good start, and we're going to kind of continue from here on other things we can do.
Dave, did you do all that drywalling and insulating yourself?
Yeah.
It's quite a bit of work.
We saved a lot of money. But it's our cars are so much happier to be in a nice finished garage, though.
Nice selling point there. What about storage? Did you put some storage on the walls?
No, we mainly just got rid of everything, so it's nice and clean.
Oh, yeah, just to admire that beautiful, you know, drywall there with that insulation.
Right.
I get you. Well, Dave, thanks for calling in. Lynn now in La Crosse. Hi, Lynn, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I was wondering, what would be like an average cost for the epoxy floor, like for a three-car garage? And then how long does it usually last?
In this market, typical ranges are going to be around $425 a square foot up to about $6 is kind of the average. Any professional company that would come in and use professional grade products and process to install the floor is going to be in that range. A three-car garage is usually in the range of about 700 square feet, 700 to 750. So you can kind of multiply it out from there that it, you know, you could be looking at $3,000 to $3,500. Every garage is a little different in shape and size. And there's also other factors that could come into play as far as cost goes. But that's part of having a professional come in and evaluate it to talk with you about that. How long it can last is typically more based on how well you maintain and take care of it. Properly installed, a quality floor that you take care of is going to last you 10, 15 plus years. They're meant to last a long, long time and be very durable. On year 15, it may not have that exact gloss and shimmer that it did the first day, but it's still on there and still protecting against all the elements such as salt and everything that we bring in. So the main thing is that it's not peeling up or flaking off, in which case it's still doing its job. And the nice thing about these higher end floors that are professionally installed is you can actually have repairs done to them. So it's not one of those things where you have to scrap it and start all over too. So that's something that a lot of people don't know, is that you can actually have them serviced. So, which is a nice benefit because it's more of an upkeep thing if you need anything at all.
What might happen? Because what if you're putting down that epoxy where you've got a floor drain, you've got some cracks, and then what about that threshold where that garage door meets the outdoors? What are some of those obstacles that you need to work through?
Those are definitely all areas that are take a lot of traffic and overall just kind of abuse. So they definitely are the areas that are more prone to issues. Depends on, you know, what exactly is happening and how it happened, and determines on how we fix it. But for instance, if you have a crack or something like that that has come back, there's usually in the front of the garage on the towards the apron, there's a spot where water can penetrate into that crack from the exterior. And
yes,
when it's freezing and thawing, that basically water gets pushed in. And a floor coating can only hold up to so much. It's not, you know, it's intended to bond to concrete, but water can be, you know, counterproductive to that. If something like that happens, that's something that you can repair. You know, some of it comes down to when you do the floor on whether or not you coat that area outside just past the garage door. That can be a big help in preventing that. Or you can also caulk that particular crack or joint. So there are some steps that you can take to prevent it. Long term, if you see those issues, those are more of a kind of just an upkeep and maintenance type thing that you might want to do.
You call that area the apron. Is that what
yes.
you said? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just learned some terminology here. We have Tim Woolen with us, heads a Madison business specializing in garage floors and storage. Mike now in Bear Valley. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hello. Well, we've never had a garage before, and we live in a rural area, and the home that we currently live in, we've been living here for 45 years, and we're building a home with an attached garage, and I was wondering if you could give any advice to people who are actually starting from scratch.
Mike, thank you. That's a great question.
Well, I mean, this is going to be big. If you haven't ever had a garage on the house in 45 years, it's going to be a real treat for you. How you want to use the space, if it's just to park cars or whatever it is, you know, things to think about are, such as what previous caller mentioned, you know, do you want to insulate and drywall it? And it's mostly about the temperature you want to be able to keep in there. Do you want to heat that space? Like a lot of people think that, well, why would I ever want to do that? And the reason is that you can maintain the temperature. Your cars are warmer when you get in and you get going in the morning. All the snow is melted off and everything. When you have snow and things melting off, one thing to consider is whether or not a drain is something that you would want in the garage. Customarily, all homes have a pitch or a slope to them where the water goes towards the door and outside. Good or bad, or it's just the way that it's always been done. And not all municipalities allow drains, but if you put a drain in, it just keeps it so that there's always a place for that water to go. So whether you're cleaning it or snow's coming off, all of that water can go somewhere. When it's pitched or sloped, the water moves towards the door, and the doors are so good nowadays, and they have these great seals on the bottom of them that it doesn't actually let the water escape or go outside. So you customarily have to actually squeegee or push that water out with a garage door open slightly to get it out. And then, you know, so there's just two different ways to look at it in terms of convenience. There's what we've always done. And then there's, you know, a nice way to do it is to have drains under each car or just one in general. So nice feature to think about.
We do have a drain with ours, but, you know, a utility sink also would require a drain, I would imagine, in the garage.
Yes, they do. And usually a utility sink has to be attached to a house common wall. Mm-hmm. So it can't be on like an exterior wall. And that usually has a drain that goes down and taps into the same place as the rest of the drains. A lot of cases, the drains for the garage floors are similar in terms of where they go. If you're rural, you're probably on well and septic, in which case the most common thing is drain it into the same thing, or you can actually have it drained into its own sump pit and then pumped out from there if you wanted.
We're discussing that garage remodel on Your Mind, how to reimagine the space. Tim Woolen leads a Madison company specializing in custom garage cabinets, durable garage floor coatings. Taking your questions, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update with Tim Woolen here on the Ideas Network. We're talking with the Garage Flooring and Storage Systems installer on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's our Ask a Contractor series, and we're finding out how to make updates to the garage that will improve overall function and flow in our living spaces. I mentioned the 2015 Gladiator survey earlier. It found that more than a quarter of homeowners use the garage for hobbies. Nearly another quarter use it to work on cars. And another segment uses it for projects like woodworking. How do you use your garage? Can you park a car in it? 800-642-1234. Tim Woolen with us for the hour. Let's take another call now. Shane is joining us in Rhinelander. Hi, Shane. What's going on in your garage?
Well, how you doing? For like the last call, I don't have a garage, and we're looking to build one. And so I'm kind of looking at my options I have, and I was wondering if the garage packages that you get from, like, the big box stores, if they're, you know, the 2 or 3 car garage, if those are, you know, worth the money in buying those, and or am I better off doing the, like, a metal building, like the pole building? I'm looking for storage and to park the cars and stuff like that. So, you know, just trying to look at the most bang for the buck.
Shane, thank you. What would you suggest, Tim?
When it comes into, so what you're talking about is kind of buying sort of the kit, whether you get it from a big box store or whatever. I don't have a lot of experience. We don't do actual construction of the garages themselves. We're more about the improvements for them. I would say in general, steps, you know, a few things to work through is just what do you want to use it for in total, and find out and kind of list things out. That way you can figure out, you know, kind of what is the right amount of space? How many cars do I want to park in there? What other areas do I need? That's how I would kind of approach it, is just listing things out and then, you know, going from there to figure out how much square footage do I really want or need. That's the best I can help you with that. Yeah.
Shane, thank you for that question. Jeff now in Verona. Hi, Jeff. You have an issue with the floor drain?
Yes. I've got about a 70-year-old garage that's over my basement, and the drain is fine. It's PVC pipe, but the cement is cracked around it. It's old, and it leaks down the pipe and destroys some of the ceiling tiles. I need to know how to fix it.
Well, so what you're referring to is spancrete. So where you have actual cement slabs that go over. What I would suggest is starting with a plumber, because you might want to have that sealed up. Make sure that the drain itself that's in the floor might just need to be replaced and or sealed up. A floor coating is another option that can help with that, just because you can seal up to it. You can do some other work around the drain to help with the sealing it up. So that is a possibility. So I would go the route of checking with the plumber first and then maybe visiting a floor coating to help prevent and close up cracks and things that might actually be contributing to the leaking in the lower area.
How successful can you be if you want to do it yourself on these cracks? What can we do on our own to try before we call in an expert?
Well, most DIY stores have concrete areas and products,
mm-hmm.
and those can be easily installed. A lot of times it just comes to kind of cleaning up the area before you actually apply it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can certainly do those things and give it the best. When it comes down to it, you might need to do more, like a professional might inject material into the crack. So usually what we can do from do-it-yourself stores is more surface stuff.
Okay.
So we apply a little bit to the surface, but it doesn't actually get down and into it. So there's where the difference is. So you can start with something simple on the surface and see how that works for you.
Jeff, thank you. John from Lake Mills called, couldn't stay with us. John wants to know, how do you clean a garage floor before putting down an epoxy? John has a garage floor that doesn't have cracks, is even, but has oils, you know, stains and other grime and grunge. What would you suggest?
Well, the preparation work is the, you know, sort of the cornerstone for any good floor coating that you want to last any period of time. If you're going to go the do-it-yourself route, the typical procedures for that are just to do a power washing of the floor, or also what they call an acid etch, which is using muriatic acid to basically eat up and kill anything and get it off of the surface. They're fairly labor intensive, no matter how you look at it, to do those. And by the time it's all said and done, they're not exactly the most effective. Any professional company that would come in is going to use different processes, either heavy duty grinders or what they call shot blasters, to actually grind and profile the floor to remove the contaminants, expose any cracks that might need to be repaired. And then from there, you can lay down the initial base coating. That bond that you get between the concrete and that first coat is so important. And it's why a lot of times you see systems that are failing where it's peeling off or flaking in certain areas, maybe by the tires of the car. That's what they call delamination. And that's usually because of just preparation work that was not done adequately.
What should we consider if we want that polished concrete or like a grind and seal on the concrete floors? What happens there?
Similar in terms of the preparation, if you're just going to grind it and you want to use like a sealer or multiple layers of sealer to create sort of kind of a smooth gloss look, you can also do the route of polishing. That just is basically sanding of the concrete to get it to a certain point. And you also use hardeners at the same time. It's much more intense. You want to use a professional company and the large industrial equipment necessary to do that. The main thing to keep in mind with a polished surface or even sealed surfaces, you know, how are you going to be using the space? Because they are going to end up being very slippery.
Okay.
When it comes. Those are typically interior type situations where you do those more of polished concrete, or where you see in a commercial settings, they typically have a lot of mats or in a large entry area where they catch the initial water and everything. And then you kind of transition. A lot of the hardware stores that you walk into have polished concrete floors.
So what I'm hearing from you is that we don't go out and rent these sanders. This is big equipment. It has to be really done right. You would call in a professional to do that polishing and grinding and sealing.
Usually that's the best route, but I mean, to each their own. And if somebody wants to wants to do it themselves, they've always thought about it and they feel confident in their skills and ability, you can rent the equipment necessary to do these tasks. But it's not necessarily something I would recommend for everyone. I would say just know your limitations and, you know, kind of go from there, but you can get the products and equipment from local places if you want.
Talking Garages with Tim Woolen leads a company that specializes in garage flooring and storage systems. We're going to get into that clutter and the different options for being organized in the garage. With your insights, your questions, 800-642-1234. So, Tim, let's get into organization, because oftentimes the garage is just our drop space. I mean, we just set stuff in there. It doesn't go in the right place. I know we've got a bunch of plastic totes trying to keep everything organized, but things have a way of really, you know, landing all over the place. What would you suggest for organization?
Yeah, you know, definitely it's a point at which life just gets in the way all the time. And, you know, having a place for everything, figuring out where that you want to put stuff and map it. And that's where we come in and help with that, whether it's the storage totes or if you have a workbench and you have a hobby that you're doing. A lot of times you want to figure out there's a certain amount of shelving or cabinet space that you might need to have those totes. A lot of people want to have closed cabinets. Part of that is just they don't see the clutter, which reduces kind of our overall stress. So when you open that garage and you don't see a bunch of things on the wall and kind of chaos, it tends to lower our stress levels. But using totes is actually a great, you know, way to go. It's the first step so that you can kind of contain the various things, whether it's the camping supplies, hiking stuff, or all the different things that we have in our garage. So using totes is great, but sometimes just having the appropriate shelving or cabinetry that you can put them into so that they're always have a place to go and they're easily accessible when you need them. There is also that aspect of like, what do you need and when do you need it? Mm-hmm. There are ceiling storage options, which you're basically creating floor space because you're allowing yourself to put these things up. And totes isn't a perfect way to use those systems because you don't want to put loose stuff up there. You want larger items in a tote. Nothing real heavy. I usually suggest things, you know, start with things like the Christmas holiday decorations. They're not ever very heavy, but we have a lot of them. And they take up a valuable floor space all year round for that, you know, 4 to 6 weeks that we have them out. So ceiling racks is a great way to utilize and create storage space for those larger, bulkier items that you want to get out of the way. Ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of those bulky items, ladders, can be really bulky, but also kids' bikes. Where do you suggest we store them? Because you want easy access, and yet, you know, they really do need to be out of the way.
Yeah, keeping them from falling over on your cars and scratching and dinging and denting things or hurting anyone is important. Location of the bikes, a lot of times there are ceiling options that you can hoist them up to the ceiling. Those are great options for like over the winter, but they aren't necessarily the most friendly for day-to-day users of bikes, in which case they have other items which might go against the wall and hold two bikes, there's actual hooks and hangers that they go on so they don't fall over. So usually identify how often are you using the bikes. When do you want to store them? And then from there is a number of wall systems, hangers that can go on the walls or the ceiling that will help with getting them up and out of the way. The bike ceiling hoists are great because if you have tall ceilings, it's great to be able to use that space and it gives you the ability to have a rope that you can raise and lower it. So you don't have to be on a ladder and, you know, risking falling off a ladder trying to get the bikes up and down.
We have garage flooring and storage systems expert Tim Woolen, who stays with us. You can join in and tell us about your overhead garage storage and shelving unit. How has that changed your floor space? Do you have everything organized in plastic bins in your garage? What space-saving change has made all the difference? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's our Ask a Contractor series. Tim Woolen runs a company with garage flooring and storing solutions with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's go to Jim now in Camp Douglas. Jim, hi. What's going on? Hi, Jim. Are you there? No, I don't think Jim is there. Let's go to David in La Crosse. David, hi. You want to talk about the chimney effect?
Right. So if you have the option of new construction, have your concrete subcontractor use 2-inch insulated foam underneath all of the garage floor, except in the center around the drain. Keep out about 2 4-by-8 sheets, and what will happen is the ground heat will come up through that central area like a chimney, and it'll keep your garage floor warm. I'm not talking about, you know, 60 degrees, but it'll keep it just above freezing, and then it'll melt the ice off your car. And so that's one thing I would say to do in new construction, and you could maybe find something on the internet, showing this. But I had a contractor friend tell me about it, and it works beautifully. So 2-inch pink foam underneath the slab, all around the garage floor, except in the center where your drain is.
Except where that drain is. Tim, have you heard of doing that?
It's not anything that I've seen, but a lot of times we just see the finished product. So looking into those types of things is certainly, you know, a good idea.
David, thank you. Mary Lisa now in Shano. Mary Lisa, hi.
Hi, good morning. We have organization all around. We have attached garage, 2-car garage, and things are organized along the sides and in the front of the garage. We have a drain in the middle. We just moved into this home in the last 2 years. But what happens in the winter is that the snow and ice, everything that we bring in on the cars, there's something wrong with the pitch. So it doesn't melt and go into the drain. It melts off the cars and goes toward all of our storage on the outer edges. Mm. So is there a way to correct that? Or, I mean, we use the squeegee and we push it out, but it's kind of a lot of...
a lot of maintenance, attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of water in the winter. So I'd love to have some kind of a fix for pitching, you know, having that water go towards... We have a drain. It just doesn't go there.
It's not going there. Mary Lisa, thanks. Tim.
Yeah, certainly takes away the nice benefit of having the drain when you have to go through all that. There are products and solutions out there that can correct pitch or slope of the garage. So, you know, a lot of it is just having someone come in. We would typically go in, look at doing water tests where we show what you've already explained, which is that the water is not going the right direction or it's not able to drain correctly. And then from there, we go on what types of products might be a good idea. And usually what happens is there's products that will actually change the pitch or slope of the garage. And then after that, we would typically suggest to do a coating. And the coating is because you're going to have these different substrate materials and patchwork that's been done. And you want to just cover that up to make it look nice. But also the coatings allow the water to move across it easier. So it's more likely to move faster and drain away quicker. But there are products and companies that will do that for you that can do it. Now, the question a lot of times comes into what's the cost of something like that. And usually if you're working with a good company, I would even be the first person to tell you of like, listen, here's the cost of it. And, you know, maybe it's more realistic to have the concrete redone because you get to a certain price point and it might actually be the same cost to just have the concrete broken out and replaced. Hmm. Now, you might not end up with a really nice garage floor coating at the end of it, but, you know, a good company should be able to recommend no matter what the solution is, whether it fits them or not, but they should make the right recommendation.
Mary Lisa, thank you for that question. And I think that gets to the core of Gail in Burlington, who called, couldn't stay with us. And Gail's garage floor is horrible. They said it's made of concrete, has cracks, it has low spots. And Gail wants to know, is it cheaper to just remove the floor and start over or to repair it?
It depends on how bad the deterioration of the concrete is. Certainly, I've run into situations before where, you know, it's so bad that I do recommend that they talk with a concrete contractor and look at having it broken out and replaced because it just doesn't make sense to put good money, throw good money at bad. So it's, again, working with the right company that will make the suggestion, but we work in a lot of garages that you would think are pretty awful. And our products and the different materials we have, that we can actually overcome a lot of deterioration that we see. So it's few and far between that I make that recommendation. But it, in some cases it is necessary, and the cost, you know, they end up being pretty close to being the same. One, replacing concrete might be a little bit more expensive, but as an end result, you know, you're better off going that route sometimes.
Let's go to Paul now in Eau Claire, who has a tip. Paul, hi.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. This is a great conversation. I just wanted to call in because I recently, or within the last couple of years, started a garage makeover business in Eau Claire, and the conversations you're having are just spot on. It's so many folks have garages that are just that need a makeover, and to utilize and maximize the space that people have in their garages, it's just with storage and making them and insulating them to get them so when people bring their cars in the winter, the snow melts off. It's just, I have done several, and for every customer that I've done this for, is just been thrilled with the results, because you're just maximizing the space. I think there's so many folks that have like mini storage units because they have so much stuff, they need to put it somewhere else. And I think you can maximize the space within your own garage.
You see that return on investment.
Yeah.
Paul, thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
We are almost out of time here, but I want to get to workbenches. Garages are a really convenient place for workbenches. What makes a workbench a good workbench?
Using it, designing it and using it the way that you want to, based on, you know, what your habits are. Workbenches are infamous for being catch-alls. So a lot of times I usually, you know, people think they want big workbenches, lots of space. And I try and figure out, well, what is it that we're doing? You know, are you doing woodworking projects, or are you just changing the line for your hedge, for your trimmer, you know? And from there, determine on how much space you need, because the more flat space you have, the more clutter you tend to get, which is counterproductive to trying to keep things organized. But usually it's just going through the process of asking the questions of how you're going to use it. Do you need a vise on there? You know, is this just about little projects around the house of getting things fixed, small things, and you're just doing a little tinkering? Or I have a client that, you know, he and his sons were really into RC hobbies and RC cars, and they wanted a spot where they could work on those together. So, you know, creating some space where they could have a couple of chairs that they could roll up to it. They had plenty, you know, we made sure they had plenty of outlets for charging things, and we had made sure that they had the
good lighting.
Lighting, absolutely. So LED lighting allows us to do a lot of things these days. So making sure you have the right light where you need it. And we integrated a lot of that. So, you know, it's all just how you're going to use the space. What do you want to use it for? And then evaluating what you have there already and how to make the best of it.
Tim, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Tim Woolen, president of Tailored Living in Madison. Week from today, join us for more home improvement tips with our Ask a Contractor series. You can find out more about the series at WPR.org/contractor. And next week, we'll talk with a smart home device analyst about the different technologies that can boost at-home productivity. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.